Blog Talk Radio.
I come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you, seeking your face, and not only your hand, I find you embracing me just as I am. And I lift these songs to you and you alone, as I sing to you in my majesty. What song could I sing that would move the heart of royalty, when all that I have is this life that you've given me? So Lord, let me live for you, my song with you. And Lord, as the love song of my life is played, I have one desire to bring glory to your name. To my audience of one, you are Father and you are Son. As your Spirit flows free, let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward. To see your kingdom come and your will be done, I only desire to be yours, Lord.
Nothing else will do. to where we start. I first felt your love. You're all that matters, Jesus. You're all that matters. Coming back to what really matters. Just your heart. Just wanna bless your heart, Jesus. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never wanna leave. And oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want
you. Father God, I thank you for another opportunity, God, to sit before your people to tell them what thus says on tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for getting the glory out of tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening me, God, and I thank you most of all for the revelation, God, that you're going to impart in somebody's life on tonight. Everybody may not get it, but somebody's going to get it on tonight, and they're going to truly grow up in you. And for that, God, I give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Politify You, everybody. I am your humble host, Prophetess Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you. Let's get right into it for tonight. The foundational text comes from Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, and Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. Again, that's Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, and Hebrews 6. Verses 1 through 3, and I will be reading from the CEV. By now, you should have been teachers, but once again, you need to be taught the simplest things about what God has said. You need milk instead of solid food. People who live on milk are like babies who don't really know what is right. Solid food is for mature people who have been trained to know right from wrong. Solid food is for the mature people. That's what I'm offering on tonight. Solid food is for the mature people who have been trained to know right from wrong. We must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. We should need to keep teaching about why you ought to turn from deeds that bring death and why we ought to have faith in God. And we should need to keep teaching about baptism or about the laying on of hands or about people being raised from death and the future judgment. Verse number 3, let's grow up. If God is willing, there's a mandate for tonight. Let's grow up if God is willing. Beloved, right out of the gate, I need you to know there's a difference between growing up in God and growing up in the church, which is what many of you have done. But there's a difference. There's a difference between growing up in God and growing up in the church. How many times have you heard someone say, I grew up in church? Perhaps you even said it yourself, but very rarely, if ever, have you heard someone say, I grew up in God? But very rarely, if ever, have you heard someone say, I grew up in God? Well, it's their time. It is that time. It's time to grow up in God. growing up in God. Tonight's message. Beloved, we must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ in the church. We must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ in the church. We must become mature and start thinking. You know I like to make you think on Prolific Fire, and tonight, I'm telling you that we must become mature and start thinking. Start thinking above the basic elementary stuff we've been taught in the church. Start thinking above the basic elementary stuff we've been taught in the church. This church. But God has never been a building. And God has never belonged to just one particular denomination. Intellectually speaking, God himself is more than that. He's an education all by himself. Yes, Lord, I know he is. He's an education all by himself, which reminds me of the scripture in Proverbs 15, verse 33, from the Good News Translation says, reverence for the Lord is an education in itself. Reverence for the Lord is an education in itself. So if you really want to know more about God, get educated in God and grow out of the basic level in God the church has left you with. If you really, really, really want to get to know God, get educated in God and grow out of the basic. You shouldn't want to be basic. Grow out of the basic level in God the church has left you with. Here's what you need to do. I came with instructions on tonight. Here's what you need to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what he has personally searched out and found out about God the Father. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what he has personally searched and found out about God the Father. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Meaning, beloved, you will never be able to see, hear, or know on your own. Beloved, you will never be able to see, hear, or know on your own the things God has prepared for you. You will never be able to see, hear, or know on your own the things God has prepared for you. You must ask the Holy Spirit. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9-11 from the King James Version. Just so we're clear, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Therefore, things have been revealed to him. He knows God in a way that you never will without his assistance. You need his assistance. So ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what he has personally searched, as the scripture says, and found out about God the Father. Because we should need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds that bring death. I mean, come on now. We all know not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat, not to commit fornication. You know, that's when you're single, meaning you're not married. But you're out here having sex like you're married with everybody. You're not practicing abstinence or celibacy. You're not practicing abstinence or celibacy. And most of us know not to commit adultery. And most of us know not to commit adultery, have sex outside of marriage when you are a married man or woman. Most of us know not to do that. I said most of us, not all, but most of us know not to do that. The scripture says, but I will tell you what will happen to cowards and to everyone who is unfaithful or dirty-minded or who murders or is sexually immoral or uses witchcraft or worships idols or tells lies. They will be thrown into the lake of fire and burn and suffer. This is the second death. This is the second death. There's Revelations 21 and 8 from the CV. We know that. We already know there's consequences, and we already know that. We shouldn't need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds. Therefore, we should need to keep talking about why we need to turn from deeds and brain death, and why we ought to have faith in God, and why we ought to have faith in God. Proverbs 3:5-6. And we shouldn't need to keep teaching about baptism. 1 Peter 3:21. Or about the laying on of hands. Luke 4:40. If you're from the kind of church that believes in the laying on of hands, then you already know about that. You already know about people being raised from the dead, being raised from death, John 11, and the future judgment, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Therefore, let's grow up. As I said before in the scripture, let's grow up if God is willing. Because there is a difference between growing up in the church and growing up in God. And here's the difference. Somebody, I know you've been waiting for it, and here's the difference. The church houses you into a building. The church houses you into a building and conforms you over a period of time to their way of thinking about things. And they conform you over a period of time to their way of thinking about things. That's why traditions are what traditions are. That's how we end up with so many traditions, with so many rituals, with so many habits that we do, some of which are not even biblical by a long shot. Some of which are not even biblical by a long shot. And that's also why we end up arguing over the simplest things, the simplest doctrine. For example, do we baptize in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Different denominations, different ways, methods of doing the same thing. It's the same thing, people. Hello. I never understood what the argument was about this one, though. I'm going to be honest. I'm like, really? Pastor. Hear me tonight, all you pastors. Whether you baptize them in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, wait a minute. Whether you baptize them in the name of the Father, the devil don't want this word to go forward, but it's going. Whether you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's still one. Jesus is one all by himself, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is also one in the form of the Trinity. They are three in one. Pastor, whether you baptize in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, Son, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is one all by himself. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is also one in the form of the Trinity. They are three in one. So stop debating over doctrine. Especially that doctrine. Stop debating over doctrine. Stop letting the devil confuse you and distract you, because that's what it's all about. He's trying to confuse you and distract you. Stop debating over doctrine and stop letting the devil confuse you and distract you. Continuing on. If you are from a really good church, if you are from a really good church, you know about both, then you know about both the water baptism, Matthew 3:11. I'm giving you references just in case you don't, but you should. If you're from a really good church, you should already know about water baptism. That's Matthew 3:11. And the baptism. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2. We know that because there's church. We know that because there's church. We know that because that is church, as I said. And that's all good. Don't get me wrong. That's all good. But that's one level. That's one level. You can go deeper. Let's go deeper in God. Let's grow in God. If you're tired of being a level one Christian, it's time to grow. It's time to grow up in God. Deeper is when you realize the God you've been taught hymns about. Deeper is when you realize that the God you've been taught hymns about. Talk to praise and shout out of your emotions about is an actual person. Deeper is when you realize that the God you've been taught hymns about. Talk to praise and shout out of your emotions about is an actual person with a spirit that you can easily grieve. God has a spirit. God is a person. God has a spirit that you can easily grieve. Yes, it's true. God's spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, he grieves. He can be grieved. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30 from the King James Version. The FBV says, don't disappoint the Holy Spirit of God that marked you as belonging to him until the day of redemption. Now, the church will tell you to make things right with your brother and sister when you hurt them. Now, the church will tell you to make things right with your brother and your sister when you hurt them. And you should. Don't get me wrong. And you should. You should. Also, they'll tell you to make things right with God and to repent. And they will tell you to make things right with God and to repent. And you should. And you should. But very few will let you know that you have grieved God's spirit, that you have disappointed God. You see, it's one thing to disappoint people. It's one thing to disappoint people. You can expect to disappoint people at some point. Just being honest, you can expect to disappoint people at some point. But to disappoint God, especially if you're anointed, it's something totally different. That thing is different when you disappoint God versus when you disappoint people. You can expect to disappoint people at some point, but to disappoint God, especially if you're anointed, is something, as I said, that's totally different. Why do you think David, when he messed up with Bathsheba, why do you think he later went to God and said in Psalms 51, against thee, thee only have I sinned, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight? Psalms 51:4 from the King James Version. David understood him being a man of God meant that everything he does gets looked at as a reflection of God. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And David understood that. He understood that him being a man of God meant that everything he does gets looked at as a reflection of God. Therefore, even though he slept with Bathsheba, David understood the person he had really messed up on. David understood that the person he had really messed up on and disappointed was God, not the men that were under his leadership that looked up to him. But David had disappointed God, and he knew it. But David had disappointed God, and he knew it. He knew it because growing up in God, there's a relationship. He knew it because growing up in God, there's a relationship, an intimacy with God, with the Holy Spirit. You are willing to protect. There's a relationship, an intimacy with God, with the Holy Spirit. You are willing to protect. You're willing to honor above everything else in your life. You're willing to honor above everything else in your life, not the traditions or rituals you've been taught to do and say, not the traditions or rituals you've been taught to do and say. It's through relationship. You hear me? It's through relationship. God lets you know some things via his Holy Spirit. God lets you know some things via his Holy Spirit, things you wouldn't know otherwise. It's through relationship that the Lord confides in those who fear him. It's through relationship that the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. There's Psalms 25 and 14 from the NIV. He confides, meaning he opens up and talks to you. He confides means he opens up and talks to you. He tells you things. He trusts you with some personal, confidential things. Thank you, Lord. Let me continue talking to you about the intimacy, about the relationship you have with God when you grow up in God. When you know he's a person and not just something you sing about in a building. When you know he's a person and not just something you sing about in a building that has its own rules and regulations over the years, most of which isolates the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit doesn't even bother. So the Holy Spirit, in many of these churches these days, the Holy Spirit doesn't even bother to show up where he's not invited. Think about this. Jesus was invited to the wedding in Cana. Jesus was invited to the wedding in Cana because he was wanted there. That's John 2. Jesus was invited to the wedding in Cana because he was wanted there. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. John 2, verses 1 and 2 from the NIV. How bad do you want Jesus? That's my question tonight. How bad do you want Jesus? But I'm not going to stop there. How bad do you want God? And how bad do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want him bad enough to invite him? Do you want him bad enough to invite him? And remember, they are three in one, the Trinity. They are three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Martha wanted Jesus in her home. Martha wanted Jesus in her home, and so she invited him to come. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That's Luke 10 and 38, NIV. But when he showed up, check out what happened when he showed up. But when he showed up, she got distracted, like so many of us do. She got distracted by the preparation, by what she was doing in preparing for his visit. Instead of enjoying his visit, enjoying his presence in her home, she got distracted. Again, it's Luke 10. Don't be like Martha. Hear me on tonight. Don't be like Martha and get distracted. Don't be like Martha and get distracted. Opening your home, your personal space to God, to be filled with his presence. Opening your heart, opening your home, your personal space to God, to be filled with his presence. It's a part of the intimacy. It's a part of the intimacy, the relationship. When you find yourself growing in God and not just attending church, when you find yourself that's all a part of the relationship, of the intimacy. When you find yourself growing in God and not just attending church because you're Baptist, because you're Kojic, etc. Again, think about this. Again, think about this. Adam had never been to church a day in his life. I think we can agree on that. If you read your Bible, then you know Adam had never been to church a day in his life. But yet he knew God in a way that most don't. And they won't. If they don't let the Holy Spirit in, they never will. But again, Adam knew God in a way that most people won't. Because his relationship with the Father wasn't churchy, for the lack of a better word. Because his relationship with the Father wasn't churchy. He had a time set aside in which he would meet with God. He had a time set aside in which he would meet with God. The Bible says the meeting took place in the cool of the day. Read your Bible, because the Bible says the meeting took place in the cool of the day. Think about this too. Adam's relationship with God, the Father, was so intact. It was such an intimacy there. It was such an intimacy there that even after Adam and Eve had messed up and disobeyed, God still expected Adam to show up. He still expected Adam to show up to keep their date, their time together. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Remember, that was the time that God normally showed up and met with Adam in the cool of the day for their time together. But because of sin, somebody say, but because of sin, this time was different. This time was different. It would turn out different. And the Bible says, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man. But the Lord God called to the man. Where are you? This Genesis 3, verses 8 through 9, NIV. Of course, God knew what Adam had done. But he still, I can't emphasize that enough, but he still expected Adam to show up. He still wanted him to show up. And so he asked the question. So he asked the question we all ask when someone we are expecting is late. God called to the man, to Adam, and said, where are you? Not because of something Adam learned in the church. Again, remember, Adam was unchurched. Adam was unchurched. But because of the relationship, because of the intimacy that had been built, day by day, in the cool of the day, as Adam walked with God, as he grew in God. Sadly, though, Adam didn't show up. There was one meeting that Adam didn't show up for. Sadly, though, Adam didn't show up because of sin. But God still being God in Adam's life, after he admitted what had happened, God still covered them both. God being God, after Adam admitted what had happened, God still covered them both. The Lord God made garments of skin. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. That's Genesis 3 and 21 from the NIV. He covered them. Because God never wanted them or us, because God never wanted them or us exposed to sin. But you know, man, you know us. We as humans, we have our own mind to do as we will. But God, he never really wanted us exposed to sin. He never really wanted them or us exposed to sin. But you know, man, as I said, you know us. We as humans, we have our own mind to do as we will. God didn't publicly rebuke them, but still God didn't publicly rebuke them. He didn't seek to make them ashamed as a punishment. He didn't seek to make them ashamed as a punishment. But he dealt with them accordingly. But he dealt with them accordingly, and the consequences were severe. And the consequences were severe. The consequences for sin are severe. The consequences for sin are always severe. And on a separate note, this is a separate note. It ain't got nothing to do with the other part, but I feel led to put it in here. And on a separate note, the consequences for not really knowing him, and the consequences for not really knowing him, but knowing the church only, and the consequences for not really knowing him, but knowing the church only, is just as severe and life-altering, because that too is sin. Therefore, I pray, Father God, I pray that somebody will not see this message as me bashing their denomination or criticizing their man-made traditions, but I pray they see it and receive it as their chance to step out of the religious box they've been in and grow up in God. Because really, that toddler stage is over and it's really not cute. But there is so much more of you they have not been exposed to. But there is so much more of you they have not been exposed to. Therefore, tonight I ask God that you help them to grow up and see, really see and experience relationship, experience intimacy with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this concludes tonight's message. If you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, call or text 865-408-8690. Again, it's 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now via Block Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer request that's unrelated to what the Lord just brought his word about, because you should have received that by faith, if your prayer request is something different, then here are the five rules for tonight. Get your prayer request in your head and press 1. That's right, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone now. I will call out your area code so you know I'm about to talk to you on the air. Nothing more than your area code. But wait until you hear me say hello and properly greet you before you begin to talk. That way, not only will God hear your prayer request, but I'll hear it too and proceed accordingly. Now the announcements. If you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire or Cash App. The dollar symbol in the ministry's name, Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital, F in Fire is capital, written all together, Prolific Fire. And if you see a store with some fire coming out of it, you do indeed have the right Cash App. That is the ministry's official logo. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. You can DM me, inbox me, whatever you need to do on either one of those. People do so all the time. That is fine. Reach out if you need to. Also, check out prolificfire.com. That's prolificfire.com. Everything I named here tonight can be done right there on the website, including leave a prayer request. Also, something special and dear to my heart, you can sponsor a child through World Vision right there on my website, because I am a child ambassador for World Vision. I'm also a sponsor with World Vision, sponsoring 8 beautiful and handsome children. 5 beautiful little girls and 3 handsome little boys. So if you have a passion to help children overseas overcome poverty and overcome the effects of COVID, because in some areas overseas, COVID is affecting them as well. So if you want to be a sponsor, reach out to me at the number that I just gave, 865-408-8690, or you can just go right there to the website, as I said, prolificfire.com. Join us for Faith on the Line with Prophet Pay. It's always a wonderful, encouraging time in prayer. It's a time for prayer and encouragement. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, Friday night by calling the number that many of you call tonight, 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too. So call in. Your prayer request will be taken then, too. So call in. Even if you get your prayer request in on tonight, or reach out to me privately, still call in, because in an atmosphere like that, you will receive. So you need to be there. Call in. Then join me, Becky, on Prolific Fire, same night, Monday night time, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific, when the message will be moving past what they said. Because many of you, you need to move past what was said about you. Moving past what they said. That will be the message for next week. With all of that being said, I'm coming to the phone lines. For God be the glory.